a man shot while driving his car in Wake County. New information on this road rage case. And what to do if someone pulls a gun on you during the drive home for the holidays.
Fayetteville police trying to determine how a six-month-old was shot and why it was dropped off at his house here. We'll tell you where the investigation stands.
Here's the next system that's set to warm us up and bring us rain, where temperatures top out on Christmas Day and the best time to travel afterwards.
Tonight, let's start with deputies who are working to find out who fired shots at two people in a car in a fit of road rage. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty. Police are telling us this shooting happened around 9:30 last night on Lewisburg Road in Raleigh. A driver and passenger were inside that car. WRL's Willie Danley joining us live now. And Willie, you spoke with the Wake County Sheriff's Office, not just about this case, but how many road rage incidents they have seen so far this year.
Dan, the Wake County Sheriff's Office tells me Wednesday night's incident brings the total number of road rage investigations up to 29 this year. Tonight, we're learning more about who was inside of that vehicle that was shot at on Lewisburg Road yesterday. It was a 25-year-old man and a 23-year-old woman. According to them, the red pickup truck that they were driving in was shot at by another car on the road. Last year, there were 33 reported road rage incidents. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says road rage doesn't just put the vehicles directly involved at risk. Road rage endangers every other car or pedestrian on the road. The sheriff's office advises that drivers disengage and try to de-escalate the situation before things get out of hand.
Whether we're the victim of an event like that or whether we're the aggressor of an event like that, we all have people that care about us. They want us to get home safely. They don't want to see us go to jail or prison. They don't want to see us impacting someone else's life negatively like that. So, we should all strive to do the right thing, care about each other just like we know each other and we love each other.
As far as the incident yesterday on Lewisburg Road, no one is in custody and the incident is still under investigation. And with the increased traffic on the roads due to holiday travel, the Wake County Sheriff's Office is advising drivers to be safe and don't engage in arguments with other people on the road. In downtown Raleigh, Willie Danley, back to you.
Stay cool and calm. You got it, Willie. Thank you. We are staying on top of an absolutely heartbreaking story out of Cumberland County. A five-month-old baby girl is dead after someone shot her on Tuesday. Investigators say Brooklyn Crumpler was airlifted to UNC Medical Center in Chapel Hill, where she passed away. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays spoke with the police chief about this child's tragic death.
Well, this has been a tough 48 hours for Fayetteville police. They've been investigating multiple shootings, but this one involving a five-month-old baby girl really hits at their hearts.
This time of year, in the holiday season, it hits home hard.
Fayetteville police have spent the past 48 hours trying to piece this crime together. It started Tuesday night around 9:40 when the baby's father, Wendell Crumpler, checked in at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center with a gunshot wound. We're told that led police to a home on Nikki Avenue where they discovered the five-month-old had been shot.
I wish there was more that I could give about that investigation right now, but to ensure the integrity of that investigation, where things happened, what parties were involved, we have to give our detectives a little bit of time to figure those things out. And in the end, it'll all come out in the wash.
One thing the chief did confirm, baby Crumpler and her father were not shot at the home on Nikki Avenue. Investigators are still trying to determine the actual scene of that crime. The police chief says the age of the victim is tough on everyone looking into the case.
So, yes, there's a certain sympathy that our detectives are always going to feel, but we have to stay focused on, the investigation at hand, and that's what our detectives do on a regular basis. They remain the professionals and they stay the course to bring justice for Brooklyn.
While police have released the name of the five-month-old who died, as you see, they're still very tight-lipped about details of this investigation. They're asking anyone who knows what happened to give them a call. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
We're still learning more about this case. We are told the child's father, Weldon Crumpler, was treated at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center for his gunshot wound and released. Fayetteville police have identified the woman killed in a shooting that all started from a fight. Video now from the scene. This was last night on Rose Hill Road. Investigators tell us someone shot two people there. 24-year-old Deja Keys died. Another woman had to go to the hospital and has since been released. Police are still looking for the person responsible. Let's take a live look. This is Sanford tonight. looking pretty nice. It's dry and cool out there right now. We do have some weather on the way, though, and it will impact holiday travel. Meteorologist Mike Mays in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the details, Mike.
Dan, it's not until Christmas night and the day after that it will impact us locally, but this system will have an impact all across the country, now impacting Southern California. If you're traveling by air tomorrow, the big impacts, the high impacts where you see red, Southern California, L.A., San Diego, getting into Arizona, the Phoenix area, maybe a slow go trying to fly in, Seattle, Vancouver, maybe a slow go. And then you have the moderate impacts from a system that's moving through the Plain States that will impact St. Louis and Chicago during the day tomorrow. Saturday, higher impacts for Texas, Dallas and Houston, maybe a slow go trying to fly into those airports. Parts of Colorado, New Mexico and Arizona, a little impact up toward the Northeast. But in general, I think the East Coast will be easy travel. Then that system makes its way into the Plains on Sunday. Big snows and rain and thunderstorms throughout the Deep South. This is the day that's going to have the biggest impact for us. It looks like it will be on Monday night and Tuesday. And on Christmas Day, there's the rain, Dan, off to the west. That's going to be moving into the area during the night. 62 on Christmas Day. It's going to be a warm one. Now, coming up in less than 15 minutes, I'll track that system in California, show how it arrives here, and when we see the height of the rain in our area.
Yeah, the timing will be important on this one. Yeah, thanks, Mike. A disturbing case tonight out of Mooresville. Police say a woman is facing charges after her 10-year-old child starved to death. Officers found the child's body last night inside the home on Craigmead Drive. They tried to do CPR, but it was no use. Police say there was little to no food inside the family's home. Neighbors told WRAL they never saw the child come outside. The boy's mother, 33-year-old Priyanka Tiwari, now charged with murder and child abuse.
You know, you have other family members who not only have lost, you know, a child in their family, but they've also maybe lost a daughter that's been arrested.
Tiwari is given no bond. She's due back in court next month. Three Truett Bank locations in our area will close next year. One on Hillsboro Road in Durham, another on Village Marketplace in Mooresville, and a third on North Sand Hills Boulevard in Aberdeen. They are three of nine different locations statewide shutting down in March. A spokesperson for Truist says that the company decided to close the locations, frankly, because more clients are choosing to bank digitally. 800,000 people expected to travel through RDU this holiday season. That is a lot. The airport authority saying that this year could top records that they set in 2019 before the pandemic. To accommodate all the growth in the Triangle, RDU plans to spend $3 billion in projects over the next decade. Right now, the airport is rebuilding its main runway. They also plan to expand Terminal 2's ticket counter and baggage claim, better roads, more parking, and a new ground transportation center so pickup and drop-off is a little easier. That project is still about 5 to 7 years out. Air travel may be the fastest way to get from point A to point B, but it's also the least sustainable way to travel. If air travel were a country, for instance, it would be the world's sixth largest emitter of greenhouse gases. The number is only expected to grow, of course. The United Nations projecting emissions from air travel to triple by 2050.
There are two things that go on to form emissions from aircraft. One is the actual fuel that is being burned. So you have fuel that gets combusted in the aircraft engine, and then it goes on to form air pollutants. That's one. The second is actually the combustor itself, based upon the combustion process that we have. You know, it sucks oxygen from the air, from the ambient environment.
There are ways to be more eco-friendly when you fly. Expedia, for instance, and Google Flights will show you lower emission flight options. They also say nonstop flights and economy seats are the most carbon efficient options. Packing light can actually help too. The lighter the plane, the less fuel they need to burn. The company working to build a major gas line through North Carolina just got more time to complete the project. The Mountain Valley Pipeline would transport fracked natural gas through West Virginia and Virginia. The green line that you see there, that's the Southgate project. It would extend the pipeline into our state and Rockingham and Alamance counties. This week, federal regulators approved a three-year extension for Mountain Valley to finish that project. Lawmakers in Virginia and North Carolina had pushed regulators not to do this, but that didn't happen. Mountain Valley now has until June 2026 to finish the pipeline. Chapel Hill will start a months-long road work project in the new year. The town plans to improve the intersection at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and North Street. Starting the first week of January, crews will square up the intersection to improve safety near the fire station and town hall. A contractor will install some sidewalks and crosswalks and a traffic signal. There may be some lane closures and delays if you travel through that area. The project should be completed by late spring. Wilson County will contribute $3.5 million toward the new stadium in downtown Wilson. This is all part of the town's recent agreement to bring in the Carolina Mudcats to town. The project will include a new stadium for the Mudcats baseball team and a large entertainment complex. The Mudcats are expected to leave Zebulon and start play at that new stadium in Wilson in 2026. It is the season of giving. And we're not just talking about giving gifts to friends and family. Up next, we'll talk to a financial professional joining us live with the best charitable donation strategies to make your dollar go even further. Plus, don't miss this week's picks for Out and About. A lot of you got family in town. We'll give you some ideas, things to do, some fun things to plan for the family on the weekend now before Christmas. This is just a great time of year, all right? The holiday season, it's a joyful time. It's nice getting gifts. We all love that. But it's also the season of giving those gifts. You might give to your community. You might give to your friends and family. Lots of things to do. And if you are going to donate to a good cause for the holidays, it may be best to do it before the new year. And if you want to give to a donation, but you feel like maybe you can't afford it, you know, money's tight, there are some solutions for you. Here to discuss some of the best practices to make the most of your gift, financial professional Alex Sutherland from Life Plan Group. Alex, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, you bet.
So let's start with the when to donate. You know, do it before the end of the year. Can you explain exactly why that helps, why that's important?
You know, at this time of the year, we don't want to be thinking about taxes. We want to wait till March or April to think about that. But you have to make those donations done by December 31st of this year if it's going to count potentially to reduce taxes for this year's tax return. So we have a few days left, and it's important to get those donations in if that's important for you.
How important is the paperwork, the spending trail where your money goes? And I'm sure most organizations have ways to give you those receipts.
That's right. Not only do you need to do the donation, but you need to get a receipt for that. And there are three different strategies, Dan, that can be helpful. You know, the first of which is potentially think about bunching your strategies. Because we have a higher standard deduction, not very many of us are itemizing anymore, and that's where we get the deduction for some charitable giving. So by bunching multiple years worth of giving into one, you actually might be able to itemize and get a tax benefit.
Oh, no, please continue. That's interesting.
Yeah, the other one is to give stock. You know, you can maybe, if you have stock outside of your retirement account that has what is called unrealized capital gains, you can donate that, get the full deduction, and not pay taxes on those gains.
One thing, as we talk to people, budgets get tight at the end of the year. Suppose there's some folks who just didn't budget this year for some extra giving. Is there other things that they can do this year or ways that they can prepare and plan for the year to come?
There was a recent survey that said because of inflation, 50% of us find it more difficult to give to charities even when we want to. And so, yes, you can give money, but you can also give your time. You can donate. You can volunteer. It's really important to find those organizations that are important to you. If you're of retirement age, you can donate out of your retired account if you're over 70 and a half, an IRA. So that's a strategy as well. But most importantly, you want to give back in the way that you're able because it is very meaningful at this time of the year.
Any advice on how people can find the right cause? Is this something that's personal to them? I'm sure there are a bunch of websites and things out there that can help folks.
You know, most of my clients tell me that they find causes that are in their communities, that they learn about from friends or family, and then, yeah, they're very passionate about those, and that's very meaningful. The best thing to do about donations when it comes to tax strategy is be proactive. Build that into your budget. Work with your financial professional so that you can give freely without some anxiety on those finances, because it can be very meaningful.
Yeah, and you know what? Instead of anxiety, it can just really make you feel whole. around this time of
year.
That's
right.
Yeah. Alex, thank you so much. We appreciate your time and your advice talking to us this evening.
You bet, Dan.
All right. So here is another way to give back, if you're curious. WRL's 35th annual Coach for the Children campaign has been very successful. So far, all of you at home have helped us raise $168,000. And now through the end of the year, December 31st, please drop off a new or gently used coat, hats, and gloves to outfit a child for the winter. You can drop off coats at your local Jiffy Lube. One local organization shared why it decided to get involved. So all the rain from last weekend helped improve drought conditions across the state. Go figure, when it rains for, I don't know, an entire day, that can help. This is the updated map as of December 19th. The yellow stands for abnormally dry. Now, here is the map from just a week before on the right side of your screen. That yellow over central North Carolina has scaled back. The light orange or moderate drought range has also come down a little bit. Meteorologist Mike Mays has the details on that, but I think we could all guess with the rainfall over the weekend.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, that was going to help us.
Yeah, we knew that it was going to do it. 2, 3, 4, 5, even some locations, Dan, saw 6 inches of rain. We got rid of the abnormally dry conditions in the eastern part of the state. We've got another round of rain on the way. I'm not going to say that this is going to be a drought buster and get rid of the rest of the drought across the state, but every little bit helps. And I think system after system will eat away at the drought. And actual forecast from the Weather Prediction Center is that eventually the drought will disappear in the month of January. We'll watch to see if that happens if we get enough of these systems. This is the next potent one. You can't help but notice this one here. This is going to bring us cloud cover tomorrow. It'll be a mostly cloudy day, maybe a few degrees cooler than the 61 that we have this afternoon. So let's track that system off to the west. By Christmas Eve, it's making its way through the mid-Mississippi Valley. So when Santa comes flying in, he'll encounter turbulence, maybe some thunderstorms in the lower Mississippi Valley and some snow across parts of the plains. But for us on Christmas Eve, mostly sunny in the 60s. You know, some folks are going to wear shorts on Christmas Eve and maybe even Christmas Day, since it will still likely be in the 60s as well. The kids, they get presents that they can play with outside. No problem. No rain in the morning on Christmas, 6 a.m., mostly cloudy skies. Now, the issue is timing of this system. American model wants to bring in the rain by 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas Day. The European holds it off until the evening. Right now, we'll go with this solution. Most of the rain we see Christmas night looks like it's going to be light, but then during the day on Tuesday, as you can see, the showers ramp up, maybe even an isolated thunderstorm. At this point, not calling for any kind of severe weather, but it will probably slow down travel out of RDU, heading up to the north, heading down to the south, heading up to the north and west. We see rain and snow over the plains, the upper Midwest. This rain pulls out overnight Tuesday into Wednesday morning. This run of the model showing no rain now for the day Wednesday, so we'll just go mostly cloudy. But if you're flying up the East Coast or down south, you may encounter some slowdowns and across the Ohio Valley as well, as this upper level low will sit and spin. European model showing 1.5 inches of rain. The American model, the new run just came in, now up to 6/10, whereas last run had about 1/2 inch. So hopefully we'll get enough that it will wipe away the abnormally dry conditions we have in our part of the state. So there's Fenton. A lot of folks having fun tonight. It's cooling down, 46 out at RDU with a dew point at 24. Already 30 showing up in our eastern counties, but clouds coming in tonight should put a lid on the temperatures. We'll be in the 30s here in the triangle, 9, 10, 11 o'clock tonight. So lows, instead of being in the 20s, most of us will end up being in the 30s. Not to say there won't be a few isolated 20s out there. 32 for Raleigh, 32 in Southern Pines, 30 at Rocky Mount. And with mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, it's not just thick upper-level clouds. There'll be mid-level clouds as well that'll make it look a little bit more gray. Highs in the 50s, 54 here in Raleigh, 57 in Fayetteville. Your 7-day forecast, it's a delightful holiday weekend, dry and warm Saturday, Sunday, Christmas Day, mostly cloudy, 62. The rain should hold off until Monday night and Tuesday. And Tuesday, if you're traveling, make sure you have some kind of rain gear.
We'll worry about that when the time comes. It is a big weekend for football on WRAL and Fox 50. It starts on Saturday at 4:30 on WRAL, the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. NFL Sunday begins on Fox 50. That's at 1 o'clock. The Panthers looking for a win against the Green Bay Packers. Then at 4, it's the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins. That's a big one. There's also a game on Fox 50 on Christmas Day. The New York Giants playing the Philadelphia Eagles. That's 4:30 on Monday. Now, Christmas, of course, almost here. Still some chances for you to enjoy some holiday lights and a lot of other things. WRL Lifestyle Editor Kathy Hanrahan has your guide in out and about weekend best bets.
Enjoy holiday lights at the ballpark at Wool E. Bull's Winter Wonderland in Durham. There will be winter markets, a sledding hill, and even more fun at Durham Bulls Athletic Park through December 31st. Tickets are on sale now. In Cary, the annual North Carolina Chinese Lantern Festival is happening through January 14th at Booth Amphitheater. It features 40 larger-than-life LED displays to walk through. Tickets are still available. Lake Mira Christmas Lights in Wendell is a free donation-based light show set to music. You can walk around the displays and even bring chairs to sit and watch them. It's up through December 31st, and admission is free. And if you're looking to ice skate this weekend, we have two outdoor rinks to check out. The rink at Red Hat Amphitheater in downtown Raleigh, and in Cary, Fendon's ice skating rink is also open. These are just a few ways to get out and about this weekend. Kathy Hanrahan, WRAL News.
Now, before we go, this last one may be the most important story of the night. Governor Cooper has instructed emergency management officials to prepare for the arrival of Santa Claus. They're monitoring his status. They're checking it twice, of course. Don't worry. Extra resources are on hand if Santa needs them. Emergency management has candy canes, milk and cookies, hot chocolate, fresh carrots for the reindeers, for the reindeer. They have everything they need. The emergency management director writes, quote, while Santa has centuries of experience making deliveries in North Carolina, we always work to plan for the unexpected. Good to have all of you on board helping out to make Christmas Eve go nicely. Thanks for joining us here on WRAL News. Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50. We'll see you back here at 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.